Amen. Amen. Good morning, everybody. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. We had an amazing Thanksgiving here at the church. If we could all give it up for everybody who put on a Thanksgiving meal. It was excellent. You guys are all invited next year. I know most of you have stuff going on with your own families, but if you can get a chance to stop by and break bread with us and give us a hug and be thankful for one another, come next year. It was awesome. One thing about the holidays, for me at least, is I feel like when we're getting all the stuff out of the rafters and stuff to set up, I feel like there should be a huge flag, at least for me and my family, that I plant in the front yard that says, Dysfunction Junction. You know? Nothing like the holidays to really bring that out, right? But, you know, I'm encouraged today in the message, and I believe that this message is on time. I was honest with first service, so I guess I'll be honest with you too. I struggled with this. I felt inadequate to preach it to you. It seems when you talk about eternal destinations, it can make, you know, that's a heavy thing to talk about. But considering of the state of affairs that we're in and how much confusion is being literally fire hosed at us on a regular basis, I heard God and he wanted me to preach on this, so I'm gonna. If you ask most people about religion or God, I would say that most people would say this is how they envision it. And maybe this is you. Everybody's standing at the foot of a mountain. And all the paths go up and go to the same place. I mean, that makes sense. If you're nice, you go to heaven. We're all different. We all have our hang-ups. And the nice thing to do would be to let nice people find God, no matter what, right? Everybody gets a trophy. You participated. Yay! That's the way we're programmed. That's the way part of me, I had to work out some of this. I'm being honest. It's like, what do you mean? Mormons are nice people. Hindus are nice. They're nice. They're not mean. Are you telling me that they're in trouble? Because that's not very nice. I get it. It's the way we've been programmed. And it's Jesus himself, Son of God, the Christ, the one who laid down his life for everybody, that said, spiritual path is, it's more like two paths. It's not so much like a mountain. It's more like two paths. Except for these paths, one is leading to a completely different place than the rest of them. And I say the rest because I know we're talking about two paths. But one path, there's one way, and that's it. This other path, there's several paths to this path. But there's two paths. So, before I continue, let me set the scene a little bit. Jesus took his disciples up on a mountain. I forgot to look what the mountain was called. I should have, but I didn't. They're up on a mountain, and Jesus prays and says, Father, I need you to help me. I want to pick out the 12. So Jesus picks out the 12 and they come down the mountain. And when they come down the mountain, Jesus sees the masses. And so he comes down the mountain and goes, whoa, okay, wait a second. So he goes back up the mountain a little bit and he calls his disciples. He goes, come here, guys, sit down. He's wise. Jesus knows this is the time and the place is perfect. I'm going to lay down the best sermon ever preached right now. So he sits his disciples down And you know, these are the people that are in the audience too. So he's got his 12 that he picked, his ride or dies. Then he's got disciples that aren't of the 12, but they're in. They're all in. They're following him around. There's others besides the 12. And then there's the rest of the people that were around that you got to understand. These people were following Jesus around because he's doing miracle, 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 miracle. And they just want something from him. They want to see the trick bag. They want to see Jesus do another miracle. These are also people that are sitting there in the audience. So Jesus begins to preach and teach. And first, it's called the Sermon on the Mount, by the way. And if you're a new Christian and you're like, wow, you know, what is this Christian walk all about? Who am I supposed to be? Like, what am I supposed to do here? Read Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. Read the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus lays it out for his people plainly. So first he starts out speaking about what his people are like. They're called the Beatitudes. And Jesus begins to preach and he says, my people are poor in spirit. They come to the Father mourning over their own sin. They're hungry for righteousness and strive for peace with everyone. Those are my people. He says, my people aren't just satisfied not physically murdering or committing adultery. He says, my people are worried about the spirit behind it, that spirit of anger, the spirit of lust. My people go deeper into the heart. They take it to a whole nother level. Then he says, okay, then he basically completes on, you know, what his people look like. Then he gets to the body of the message. And he shares that his people are humble and that they should pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. He says his people keep their eyes on the prize, that they're not to worry about tomorrow or the stresses of life. Jesus says, my people are present. My people pay attention to the right now. They know I'm faithful. They don't have to worry about tomorrow. My people are present. Then Jesus wraps up his sermon with warnings of danger. And see, I shared, and that's what we're going to sit on today, is the last part of his sermon. But I shared the first part because I wanted to bring context to Jesus. Because he's not a person, I want you to make sure he's not the guy with the sign on the corner. He has come with love. He's come with information. He's come with a map. He's come with a plan. He has not come to divide. He's not come to damn. He's come to save. So Jesus warns us of these dangers. He says there's a danger of finding the wrong entrance. There's a danger. Many people don't know the way. I want you to know that there's a chance that you may miss it. So I'm letting you know. I'm warning you. There is a wrong way. There's also a danger. He warns of the dangers of false teachers who will lead you to the wrong entrance. He warns us. Hey, not there might be, there's gonna be. There's gonna be people who look you right in the face. And man, they're telling me the truth, man. This is gospel the way they're talking to me. And they will lead you the wrong way. Jesus said that, not me. Jesus did. And finally, he preaches about the dangers of false professions of faith. Another thing Pastor Chris ain't saying, Jesus did. He's saying, my people don't just say they love God. My people know my voice. My people know who I am. My people know my word. My people know me. There will be people who think they're on the right path, who profess that they're on the right path, and they're not. Pastor Chris didn't say it. Jesus did. Again, Pastor Chris struggled with this message. Pastor Chris doesn't want to tell anybody, hey, you might go to hell. Why? Because it's scary to me. Because I don't have the power to save or damn anybody. So it's like, this is weighty, Lord. But he's called us to walk in the truth. Amen? And you guys allow me to be your pastor, one of them, I'm going to bring the truth. As scary as it is for me. Considering the state of confusion that the world is in right now, I thought this sermon would be right on time. And you know what? It was God's decision anyway. So let's get into it. This is an invitation and a warning. We're going to sit in chapter 7 of Matthew, verses 13 and 14 mostly today. So this is one of the warnings. This is the warning that I want to sit on today with Jesus. This is how he wraps up his sermon, and he says this in verse 13. Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few. What? That's a heavy passage right there. So Jesus is literally informing us that it will be so easy to be on the wrong path. It's going to take work to stay on the right path. Well, gosh, Lord, that doesn't sound kind or fair, at least by 2022 standards. But I tell you that there's a reason. And it's not because Jesus made it hard. It's not because our God that created us, who loves us, he didn't make it hard. God made it easy for us to get saved. The reason why it's hard is because of our own sin. It's because we're fire hosed with everything of the world on a regular basis. Because the two things in front of your face and the two things on the side, these are the entry points to your altar. These are the entry points to your reality. These are the entry points to all the information that you are taking in, including the word, I hope, that's going in your entry points. Because it's the word of God that is going to separate the fire hose of information in your life. And we'll get to that. I want you to see that there's only two gates, two paths, and every single human being is on one of them. Two different eternities. Two different realities. And there are several contrasts. It's two different gates, two different paths, two different destinations, and two different crowds on those paths. So picture the gate, the wide gate, right? The wide gate is beautiful, you guys. I mean, it's not like the wide gate says, you better not go in here, it's the wrong way. That's what it should say, right? The wide gate's beautiful, you guys. It's gold. It's got jewels on it. Everybody's going in and out. It looks like the way to, like, this seems right. Doesn't it? Look at how beautiful it is. This seems right. Everybody's going in. This seems right. This is the picture you need to have. It's not like, yeah, I would totally see the big gate. You know, like, I'm not going to be fooled by the wide gate. Oh, yeah? We're all fooled by the wide gate. The small gate is this, in this grandiose, you know, overblown, overproduced, magnificent gate, there's this little simple crack. Bigger than this, because you got to fit through it. I hope the camera can get over here for the online people. Sorry, guys. There's this crack. It's a plain little crack. Nothing fancy. It's just an opening. But you're the only one that can fit through it. Your mom, dad can't fit through it with you. Kids, they can't fit through it with you. Your parents. Did I just say that twice? I did. Okay. I'm going through parent stuff right now. They're fresh on my mind, I guess. You're the only one that can fit through. Your pride don't fit through. All your human ideologies don't fit in there either. Your naked soul's the only thing that fits through that gate. Everybody in the world is on one of these paths. And even if you say, Pastor Chris, I haven't chosen a path yet. Yes, you have. If you haven't chosen a path, you're on the wide path, friend. In fact, the reality is this. Once your beautiful little baby feet hit the pan, you were plopped on the wide road with the rest of us. Moses said this in Deuteronomy. This is Old Testament scripture right here. In chapter 30, verse 19, Moses said this to the called, to God's people, his first chosen people who he led out of captivity into freedom. This is what he has his servant speak over him. He says, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. That I have set before you life and death, blessing and a curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live. That's a big promise. Choose. Do you notice how Jesus says, he doesn't say, you have to choose to be on the wide road. You don't have to choose to be on the wide road. You're on the wide road. You have to choose the narrow gate. You have to choose the narrow way. So why is the wide gate so easy? I mean, like, come on. It's wide. It's easy to get into. There's no line. It's easy to flow in and out of that thing. It's easy. Why? Because that's all you and I have ever been taught how to do. And I'm not talking smack on any of our relatives because they were doing the best that they could with what they have. And they were taught by their relatives, taught by their relatives, taught by theirs. We continuously teach our kids how to survive on the wide road. You got to do this. You can't do this. All of it's good, we're parenting, but how about telling our kids about the narrow door? How much of that do we really do? Are we going to change? Because it's up to us, the church. And I, again, I'm not talking smack on us, but man, there are times that we sure do look a lot like the world. There are times where I know I'm making decisions based on the wide road and the wide gate. And God has exposed that in my life. And I know that He's talking about salvation. So let me not rabbit trail. This world is telling you to do anything and everything else but search for Jesus. Fire hosed with sports, The Voice, American Idol. Come on. What's in the Netflix series? Another show on a pandemic. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you're going to show us movies on that now? Oh my gosh. Pastor Chris, you're getting legalistic, man. There's really nothing wrong with watching TV. You're right. Hey, man, look, I get it, okay? I'm not trying to get all weird on you, all religious on you. But I would be doing you a disservice if I didn't tell you for sure the stuff you're watching on TV from the mainstream is wide road stuff. Just so you know, hey, what, football game's cool in and of itself? No problem. But if I'm doing all the other stuff and I ain't praying, I ain't in the Word, I'm not seeking God. I don't care that I gave my life to Christ. I believe you're my Lord and Savior, but if I don't walk that narrow path, if I don't choose the narrow door, then I'm just operating like everybody else in the world. Saying I love Jesus, but doing it like them. Now, I'm not saying if I did that, I would even go to hell, because I truly believe that God is so powerful that He can save even a scumbag like me. You know what I'm saying? But I have the opportunity in life. Salvation is living. You are saved, you are being saved, and you will be saved. These are the things that get us on the wide road. Apathy towards one's spiritual condition. People walk around in life just like, yeah, you know, God's real. But, you know, I'm young. That's what I get from my kids, you know. Dad, it's good for you. You need Jesus. But I'm young. I don't want to worry about that stuff right now. And I'm like, okay. Just keep the door cracked. My kids are on the wide road. It doesn't please me to say that, okay? It's their journey. They don't get to go through the turnstile with me. You remember? It's a crack. So it's like, and the word that Jesus used for narrow and hard. Okay, narrow is the gate and hard is the path that leads to life. Narrow and hard are the same Greek word. Jesus used the same word. I just don't know what that word is in Greek. You need to care about your spiritual condition. It matters. Worship of false religions and false teachers is another thing that's big time on the wide road. This is another hard one for me. You know, like I said, Mormons are nice. Hindu people are nice. Jesus came to save. Spoken word of God in human form to be sacrificed for us. All other religions get close. If I was the devil, I would make all these religions really, really close to Jesus' love. You see, everybody's waiting for the devil to be, it's not like that. He's beautiful, gorgeous. He's almost the truth. That's why they describe him like a snake, cunning, like a fox. In fact, I don't want you to think of him as, rah! I want you to think of him like a jester. Gotcha. 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 The devil's a punk. And all he can do is suggest things to us. We have to accept it. And the worship of false religions is the wide road. I'll leave it right there. There is one way to the Father, that's through the Son, and his name's Jesus Christ. Amen? Human philosophies and ideologies, wide road stuff, all the isms, feminism, communism, anarchism, all the isms. All the isms to single out people, single them out. It's you. We're going to elevate this. You're different and you deserve special treatment. All the isms want to do that with us. Divide us when we're all the same. Okay, Jesus came to reconnect humanity. He didn't come to separate even... He didn't come to separate the people. He came to drive out the darkness. Jesus came to make a way so we would actually have a way to the Father, because all the other ones are lies. These human philosophies and ideologies get in our head, you guys. It's been programmed in us, and it doesn't line up with the truth. It doesn't mean you're mean. It doesn't mean you're homophobic. It doesn't mean any of that, because you should be loving everybody, no matter what they believe or what they do or say. Because there's God's creation, and God doesn't make mistakes. They're lost. That's it. We are to love. And if we are going to have an impact on this planet, it is because we choose the narrow door. Now, let me get to the narrow door, because I don't think I spent enough time on it last sermon. Before I do that, I want to talk about this. This is important. The Apostle Paul speaks clearly on the war that we're in right now. And it's a refreshing reminder, or it's a mind-blowing aha moment for some of you right now. But here it is. We're in a war of ideas. You're at war. There's a war for your soul, for sure. But it's not a physical war. Ha! It's a war of ideas. It's a war of concepts. It's It's a war of belief systems. 2 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, Paul says this, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds." We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Paul lays it out for us right here. He coincides with Jesus' map of the battlefield, of the paths that we are walking on right now, in the sense of we don't fight like normal people. We fight concepts and ideas and ideologies and arguments that say, why is there only one way to God? Why? That's not nice. Why? Why can't I have sex with whoever I want? I love them. Why? And I say to you, if we spent less time trying to grab the truth of our Creator that created us and shove it into our lifestyle, somehow make it fit, and begin to take our lifestyle and squeeze it through the narrow gate to life. You see, that's what Jesus is describing. And I know he's talking about eternity. It is the truth of Scripture. The ideas behind the words spoken by Jesus, the prophets, and the apostles that bring down the strongholds, the opinions, the arguments that are set before you. Because once again, you're being fire hosed by opinions and arguments and strongholds that go against everything God has said and the words that God has spoken over your life. That stuff comes against it. And so we must come against that. Moses describes the worship of false gods in that they are not gods at all. They're demons. This is heavy. Deuteronomy 32, verse 16 and 17. They stirred him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed to demons that were no gods, to gods they had never known, to new gods that they had come recently, to whom your fathers had never dreaded. Any other ideology or belief system that goes against the reality of the justification of man through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, the death and the resurrection, and the ascension of him, is inspired by Satan. It's to draw you away. That's just the bottom line. And that's tough for me to say. But I must preach the truth. Jesus came to say there's one way to the Father, and that's through me. I love you. I don't hate you. I don't want to divide you. I want to be with you for eternity. It's everything else that hates you and that wants to divide you and want to take you away from me. But it's telling you that I'm bad, says God. It's telling you that the good is bad and bad is good. So let's really look at that, at the narrow gate for a little bit. It says that when they're talking about it, it's like a prison door or a grave. It's that kind. And like I said, it's just one person at a time, no baggage, no stuff, no siblings, no spouses. It's narrow and it's hard to find. Because there's so many distractions of the world. All the distractions. And that's what they are. It's hard to see, or it's hard to fit through. Because you can only go by yourself. You got to leave everything else. I mean everything. Your love of money can't go with you. Nothing else. Self-righteousness doesn't fit through the door. So anything that you've done, I'm a good person, that don't fit on the narrow road. It's hard to accept. The narrow door is hard to even accept. Why? Because the demands of the gospel clash with all of our natural tendencies to sin. The gospel clashes with our sin nature and our love of it. Because you know what, guys? There's part of us that loves it. That fleshy part loves it. Matthew 16:24, Jesus says this, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny yourself. That's choosing the narrow door to salvation, eternity with God. The narrow gate is the only way. Christ must first draw us to himself for us to see through the clutter and the distraction. Then it's up to us to find him in the scriptures to confirm and solidify the idea that the reality of our salvation through the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of Christ is true. That's where we find it, in the Word. And salvation, although it says that it's... it's like that. Jesus has made an easy, easy way for you and I to come into his kingdom. And that's just surrender. How hard is it to say, God, I give up. I surrender. I'm not God. You are. I don't totally get you. But I'm willing. I'm willing to learn. And I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life, and change me. Make those words come alive to me like Pastor Chris was saying they would. Ask him. He will. He's faithful. He's faithful to bless you with that. So in that, let me talk to everybody who's saved in this room right now. You know that you know, hallelujah, Jesus is my Lord. And when I die, whenever that last breath is on earth, I know I won't die. I'll just merely pass on to the next. Hi, Lord, how you doing? If that's you, great. I have a message for you. You remember how Pastor Ed said the Word of God has layers, right? Let's rip off another layer. So... John 14:5 says this. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There it is. Jesus said it. So let me put this in context. Because remember, we're all on the plop down on the wide road. And I believe that this is the Holy Spirit giving me this expansion of the Word, because it is Jesus talking about salvation and eternity. But Jesus says, I am the way. Jesus says, I am the journey. You see, Jesus has also given us a map of the battlefield. And he's letting us in on a little secret. Heaven isn't so much a destination as it is a right now thing for us. You see, Jesus says, I am the journey. I am in your journey. I am the journey with you here now. It's me and you till the wheels fall off. Eternity's a long time, kid. So let's do it now. He says, I am the journey and I am the truth that you will find in that journey about yourself, about others, in my word. And I am the truth you will literally hold on to as you walk that narrow road. It's my truth that will balance you on that tiny, tiny road that seemed to be so hard to walk on. In fact, it's impossible for you to walk on it without me, says God. But I will give you the ability to do it. He says, I'm the life. I'm literally the life, the eternal life that you will experience if you choose that way. So let me give you an example just so I can give you a right now. How can we apply this, Pastor Chris, to the now? Because I want eternity now. I want salvation now. I want my inheritance now. Amen, brothers and sisters. I'll give you an example. It's the easiest way I can do this. I'm going through something with my dad. I love you, Dad, if you're watching. Him and I have not been able to communicate for 50 years. I'm 50 years old. He loves me and I love him. We can't communicate. Every time we get on the phone or something, especially lately with the temperature, the way things are, and I'm not going to say anything more than that, but we can't have a conversation, and that's sad. So I have been going through it, right? Because I'm a child of God, man. I'm filled with love and light and hope and joy and peace and forgiveness. And so I should be able to have a relationship with anybody, especially my dad. So I realized something. If I'm going to have a relationship with my dad, I'm going to need God. I'm going to need to take the narrow road. So I had a conversation with him, right? And I'm on the phone. You know, and happy Thanksgiving Day. I tried to call him up and wish him a happy Thanksgiving. And he immediately just started in, right? And then he said something that just, it made me so mad. But I remember what I promised God. This isn't even about my relationship with my dad as much as it is God. I don't ever. Because, see, this man, my dad, he can cause me. Like, if you saw what happens to me, you'd be like, wow, he's a pastor? Whoa, dude. Whoa. You know, like, yeah. Okay? So, yeah, not okay. Not okay. Not okay. Not just for a pastor, but a follower of Jesus. You see what I'm saying? I follow Jesus. If those words came out of your mouth, then you literally have a responsibility to be that. Amen? So, and none of us are perfect, but we try. So okay, Dad, so I'm going to get angry, and I remember what he said. You know, I'm trembling. Okay, well, I should probably go. I didn't call him any names. It's still a success. Guys, I just don't want you to think that these have to be like these grandiose miracles in your... I mean, just little choices to take the narrow door. It is the harder way. That was hard for me, you guys. I cried in my garage for like 10 minutes after I wrote him a letter. And it was inspired by God and it was filled with love. I waited and I didn't call you. Yeah, you jerk. You heard me. You. I wanted to do all that. And I feel justified. But that's not going to heal anything. That is wide road. Everybody on the wide road's doing it like that. Right? I mean, yeah. Everybody on the wide road is trying the best they can with what they have. Jesus is like, I know you are. There's the narrow gate, buddy. Walk through it. It takes more. It takes effort. And like I said, nothing else fits through that thing. Your justifications, your rights, nothing fits through the narrow gate. Only you and the love of Christ fit through that. So I share that with you. Because I want you to choose the narrow gate in your life. I share that with you because I think that we can get distracted because we're so fire hosed with everything that is not of God. That it's good to get back to basics. That I know that when I come to a situation or a relationship, I have the opportunity. I am on the wide road and I can choose the narrow way. In that moment, I can choose. And let's just say I choose the wide road and I start acting like Chris Jones the way he always acts. Blah, 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 cuss word, cuss word, cuss word. I'm sorry, God. I repent. Hey, let me make that up to you. Hey, you know what? When I told you that, I lied. And I'm trying not to lie anymore. So I just wanted to tell you that. That is hard. It's hard. That's the narrow way. That's putting your faith into action. That's what the narrow road looks like, guys. And Jesus promises you and me that if we walk through that gate, there is everlasting life there. I don't know if my relationship with my dad is going to be restored. I think so. I have hope. I really hope he gets saved. That's none of my business. But I know this is what I know. Through this, if I can take this particular moment in my life, my little trial or whatever you want to call it, and I can stay on the narrow path, I know God's going to do a miracle. Maybe it's just going to be in me. Maybe he'll just do a miracle in me that I could show up on Christmas, hello, Dad, and he go, blankety, 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 I love you. And that's it. That would be a miracle. I'll take it. I'll take it all day. You know, but whatever. I'm just saying, like, first and foremost, if there's anybody here and you're not for sure, I don't know what road I'm on. I mean, I'm for sure on the wide road, Pastor Chris. And I'm into the whole narrow gate thing. Like, I want it. I just don't know what to do. I want to pray with you today. Because it starts with a prayer. And the prayer, and it's not just the prayer. It's the surrender. It's finally going, God. I've been one of those people on the path. I've either believed false religions. Maybe I've been apathetic about my relationship with you. Maybe I'm living however I want, and I'm done. I repent. I'm sorry. It's as easy as that. The hard part's raising your hand. That's the narrow door part. I need to be saved. And if you're at home, it goes for you too. Please. The kingdom of heaven is here now. You don't have to wait for anything. Jesus is alive now. And he wants to be alive in you. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you have and you've backslidden and you know, like, I'm like wide road, not caring about what he thinks kind of thing. Today's the day. He's waiting for you with open arms saying, it's cool, child. Just come to me. Come to me. all that fire hose confusion of the wide road, I will bring your focus solid. I will bring you to a place through my word and my presence and my people that will cause you to now all of a sudden, the things, the distractions of the world begin to drive away. Or maybe it's just that I'm resurrecting you above it so you can see. And you can see everything. And you can hear my voice because my sheep hear my voice. I don't lose any of mine, says God. When I speak, my sheep hear my voice. You will know that it is God telling you what to do, speaking to you. You will know it. We'll know it. So if you've never given your life to Jesus or you want to do that today, raise your hand and we'll pray. I see your hand. Right on, sister. Maybe this whole day was for you. I love you. So pray this with me, all right? It's a profession of faith, right? We say this with words because words are powerful. We speak it. We speak it out to eternity right now. We speak it out to the devil right now. I'm saved, punk. Amen. So let's pray. Church, will you help her with me? Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life and change me. I ask you to break every chain, every shackle, every stronghold that comes against you. In Jesus' name. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I declare today I'm yours and you're mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me pray for you guys. Sister, welcome. I love you. Welcome to the family. Father God, I lift up your church to you and I ask you to shine your face on your people. I thank you for your word today. I thank you for the anointing that was in your word that is placed in your people to be spilled out on this world. This week, this world is a better place because of your church, because the word that you put in them that will be poured out of them to save, deliver, and build and bless. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. See you guys next week. Love you.